Thank you so much, choir. So beautiful. As Tom comes up to join me, we'll continue in worship with our scripture reading from Romans 5, verses 3 through 5. Up on the screens as I also read it, but you can also look in your Bibles at that. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. I think most of you know that Tom and I spent 3 weeks in October on a mission trip to Nepal, and we were just reminded again and again of this truth that God brings hope out of things that are very difficult. It's so interesting to us that we had felt called and led to take a trip to Nepal well before the earthquakes of last April, or the blockade that has been such a great difficulty in recent weeks in Nepal. And I think God had a reason for us to go and see where he is on the move there. So we are just filled with gratitude for that. And we also felt so powerfully while we were there the support of our church family. Several of you, many of you gave of your material resources, but we also knew so many of you were praying and lifting us up. That was so evident to us in the way that even immediate logistics things got untangled right before us. So thank you for that.
We arrived into Kathmandu at the airport in the middle of the chaos and bustle of that incredible city. And we immediately saw the effects of the blockade that India has imposed upon Nepal. A little history on that. It's been about 15 years ago or so that Nepal emerged out of a very repressive monarchy. And it's been in a process of developing a constitution over these 15 years or so. And they just passed a constitution in September. And immediately afterwards, leaders in India blockaded all imports from India, virtually all imports from India into Nepal. And it's caused great gasoline and diesel shortages, cooking fuel. It halts construction, jobs, restaurants. They're all most of them all are closed. And so this one motorcycle line, we counted over 400 motorcycles. It was common for people to wait a day or two for just a small amount of fuel. Yes.
Many of you in our congregation have gotten to know Mohan and Sangeeta Tamang, who are Nepali missionaries who grew up there, and they have worked through YWAM, which was Youth with a Mission, for many years. And we first got to know them about 14 years ago when they were here for a time of rest and fundraising. And we've just maintained connection, our Trinity family. So when Tom was there 5 years ago, he also got to know the couple that you just saw, Isaac and Binu in Kathmandu. So as we settled in there in Kathmandu, Mohan and Sangeeta drove down from Pokhara to be with us. And here are our good friends.
As we traveled through different places in Nepal, we're able to see the beautiful countryside. Most all of the hills are terraced like this, either for rice or millet or corn or other crops. Beautiful valleys that we saw there. This terraced land, actually, in the very top right corner, you can see some little blue buildings, is Mohan Tamang's village that he grew up in. Our first theme is that God's people suffer. And we heard a lot of the suffering in visiting a tent camp near Dading Besi, which is just a couple of hours west of Kathmandu. We saw many examples driving around Nepal of the buildings that had fallen down and were destroyed. I think about 18,000 people died. About a half million homes were destroyed in the April 25th earthquake and aftershocks after. And to give you a perspective, I heard that the same 7.1 8 earthquake in Los Angeles would have caused between 10 and 100 deaths. But it's because there's such terrible building codes in Nepal, there were so many deaths. We saw destruction of many buildings as we went around Nepal.
I was just going to add, it was sobering to us also that it was almost 6 months since the earthquake and that this was still the situation. I think we are so used to, in our nation, having so much infrastructure to support reconstruction, even if things take a long time. And here, clearly, people were still just literally pulling things off their lots out of rubble.
This first video that Nate's going to put on is showing one family that, while we were there, were clearing away the rubble out of their building that had collapsed.
This is just as we were driving along the road. It's just not at all uncommon to see this kind of thing.
Most of the buildings that had collapsed, they had already cleared away the rubble, and you could see nicely stacked piles of rocks that were ready for rebuilding. Okay, on the next video, we're going to do the next five videos all in a row here. These are all from the tent camp that we went to. Mohan and Sangeeta had gone there once previously this year, in addition to about six other trips around Nepal. And so there are 185 families that live here, and this is about 10 minutes outside the camp, or outside the city of Dating Beshi. We're having trouble with the audio, because there should be audio here.
That's okay. These were families that had lived in a village up in the Jungle Mountain area, and when the earthquake happened, they were also hit with a landslide, and so they scattered into the jungle, and for a week or so didn't have food or weren't clear on who in their families had survived. And then they all gathered here. And interestingly, they are Christians, which in Nepal, about 1% of the people are Christians. So very unusual to have a village that are all Christians.
I guess we'll be the audio as we go through these. So let's see this next one. These are bamboo strips that have, they've taken bamboo poles and cut them into small strips. And a lot of the young people are making baskets in this tent camp in order to have an income stream. But they're all displaced from their villages up in the mountains. And the next one, we were invited into one of the tents of this young family, and Mohan was speaking with some of the women who are these community leaders. And there's this little girl here, and apparently her brother is this little boy that we'll see here in just a second. And I didn't even hear this at the time, but Mohan says on tape that the little boy had just said to him, "I want to eat, I'm hungry." And I think the boy overheard Mohan talking to these community leaders about, you know, we have about $5,500 to help out your community today. How can we help? And their decision was that they wanted us to buy rice and then to give each family $15 to purchase meat and oil and spices for their Desai holiday meal, which was their biggest holiday of the whole year of all the people in Nepal. And then this last one, I'll do my best to remember what this says. He's describing, we interviewed these women about their trauma, and he's describing that these women explained that after the earthquake, there were landslides in which the land, you know, wiped out their villages, and they all spread to the jungle. And it was a couple of days later that they came back and systematically started going through the rubble to find their dead. And this one woman standing there, her father had died, and another woman there, her other relative, had died. And they had gone through the rubble and pulled their dead relatives out of this rubble. And most of them didn't eat for about 2 weeks. And finally, they came down out of the hills looking for food and found some distribution of food here at these locations near Dodding Bessie, and then began setting up camp. And there's about four or five of these temporary camps just around this one small city there in Nepal.
What's concerning is that with winter coming, their structures are tin and bamboo and tarps, and so it's not going to keep them warm enough, and they're on borrowed land, which is really tough because they may be asked to leave. Gladys Kearns had graciously donated a lot of eyeglasses of varying strengths for reading. And even though the older people in this community, for the most part, weren't literate, they do a lot of close-up work. So we had them come in and take a needle and a piece of twine and use that as the indication of when the glasses were working for them. So we were able to distribute those glasses, which was kind of neat.
I'm a psychologist and have specialized in the treatment of trauma. And so Mohan asked me to speak really at each of the locations I went to on methods for overcoming trauma. And so at the camp, while Mohan and Sangeeta went into town to purchase rice and those other supplies, I was able to teach them. We call this a butterfly hug. This is not how they pray. It's a butterfly hug that I taught them, and it's used as part of an imagery and self-soothing and calming for when they're experiencing trauma symptoms.
Because the leaders had said that the best use of our resources would be to provide the rice and the money for oil and spices and meat, a truck and Mohan and Sangeeta came back up to the camp with 185 bags of rice for the families, and they had systematized the families by name and called them up one at a time, and it was my job to give the money, and I have to tell you, at Trinity, I had the most powerful experience as I was doing that of thinking of all of you individual donors and families who had given money for that, and I felt like that was a really powerful connection of our community here with them. The second theme we really wanted to dwell on is that in crisis, God's people care for each other. And we had the great privilege of being the speakers at two church conferences, one in an area called Dharali, which is this church, and another in Lotar, which we'll come up to. We also noticed in Dharali, there was a central church, which was that cinder block building, and then there are many, many villages all around, and people walked in 3 and 4 hours to come together for this 2.5-day conference. And we noticed how much, when we heard stories that when they came together after the earthquake, after the initial shock and figuring out how to feed themselves and get water happening, they started in a very early church Book of Acts kind of way, taking turns, taking care of each family and getting them into some temporary shelter. So it was a beautiful picture of their community.
So this conference was the longer of the two. We had 2.5 days to do teaching of different sorts and gathering with them. And it was so amazing to see them come together as a community. They purchased a water buffalo out of money that we brought and other foods for, numbers ranged, but roughly 100 to 120 people were there most of the conference. And they would gather for each meal, breakfast and lunch, there out in the yard, out in front of the church. And shall we skip this one? There's no audio. Yeah, we'll skip this one. And they just had beautiful times of worship, very vibrant, and a lot of young people. And then part of it, on the first day, I had one day where we just focused on recovering from trauma. And we had them gather in groups and talk about their experiences. And we just didn't plan enough time for that. They just wanted to tell their stories to each other and share with each other what they had been through and encourage each other. At the end of the conference, our translator, Isaac Tamang, had the idea of having them separate into little groups and write down on newsprint what they had learned from the conference. And so this was a gathering of young girls that all had sat together. And then each of the groups took their sheet of paper and put it up on the wall and came up and read off what they had learned. And Mohan translated to me while each of the people were reading their lists. And it was really encouraging to see how much they got from our time together.
This sanctuary is in Lotar, which was further south near a big river. And again, many people from different churches gathered together. And again, it was a one-day conference. We spoke, but also there were youth choirs, traditional dance, food being cooked right outside, and just a very vibrant community. A lot of beautifully committed youth and really cool.
So this, again, was a section where I was teaching them the butterfly hug on trauma. And there were six or seven young women all dressed with these same purple dresses on that were part of their church choir. This was their choir uniform. So you guys might want to consider this when you next change your choir robes. And Robin, do you want to talk about what you spoke about?
I got to speak a little bit on how God's story in Scripture with his people intersects with our life stories, hoping that there were some encouraging words for all of us in that, and that was a privilege.
And they just gathered outside of the church, and some had animals with them that they tied up, and it was just, they live in community there. It's not such individual lives as we have here. So our next theme is where God's love is shown, there is joy. And we especially got to experience this in our visit to the Mount Olive Orphanage. This is the original orphanage buildings, really the current buildings, with kind of the original old building on the left that the directors and their two young daughters live in, and then the two dormitories. Are those two doors on the right, and there's a little kitchen to the right of that, and that's the current orphanage. And then as you can see, the gray building on the left is the new orphanage building that's being built. Trinity donated $17,000 out of our capital building fund this last 2 years towards the construction of this new building in the orphanage. And it's not only going to serve as home for the children, but it's also going to serve as a guest house and restaurant. There's a gorgeous view. If the clouds weren't there, you'd see the Annapurna Range really closely in Machu Picchu, to be an income stream, and I think also an employment opportunity as these children get older and are teenagers. The bottom section on the back, this is the other side, is almost complete, and so soon, probably in the next few months, the children and the directors will be moving into these new buildings, these new rooms down below that are not damaged by the earthquake.
We shared dinner together. It's very much a part of the Nepali culture to cook and the family be around the cook, sharing stories and talking, and then serve and sit back down, mostly on the ground, and eat together. And so we did that. And then it had been suggested to us that we get certain gifts for the children, so backpacks and stuffed animals that are very comforting to them. We took some school supplies. Any of our kids that are in here, we took some jump ropes from children's ministry, and they loved those. And then later on, you'll see a picture where we also used funds that were donated to buy winter jackets for all of them, because it gets very nippy up there.
On Sunday, after worship, we did go down to shop for these winter jackets for the children, and then I got to walk with Daniel and the children back up to the orphanage, which is about an hour walk up the hill, and spend the evening with them. And here they are with their new winter jackets, and they were just so pleased. And it was really the highlight of the trip for me, is spending time with those kids. And I had known Daniel and Prema from before, and got to see one of the kids that I saw 5 years ago, who's this assistant manager. You'll hear about him. But just to spend the time with these children, that I've heard some of their stories, who come out of situations where they've been abandoned by parents that can't take care of them, their parents have died, and to see so much joy and so much love and so much experience of family. And I felt like I was really welcomed into that family experience that evening.
Our last theme is that God is at work through his people there, and we noticed this so much in the ministries that we saw going on in Pokhara and Kathmandu that Mohan and Sangeeta and Isaac and Binu are involved with.
Mohan has always been a businessman as well as a church planter, and so he's had a number of different businesses over the years, and this business he opened 2 years ago is a car wash and car repair business, and he's hired 7 or 8 young people, late teens and mid to mid-20s, to be running this car wash. And he just hires young Christians to give them employment and mentor them. And so he and Sangeeta invited all of them and us for a picnic barbecue that afternoon. It was the main holiday day of the year of Desai. And so there's a view of the Annapurna Range and from the back of Mohan's house. When we then traveled back to Kathmandu, which is about a 6-hour minivan ride, I got to meet with these three Christians at a Christian counseling center to talk with them about bringing a training group to Kathmandu to train in a trauma model called EMDR that some of you may have heard of. And it was just so encouraging to hear about the ministries that they're having as counselors there.
This is a meeting that we went to. Isaac, who's in the upper left corner in the picture, is the couple in Kathmandu. He's the husband. He is in charge of 26 ministries through YWAM, Youth with a Mission, in the Kathmandu Valley. So he had gathered a cell group of some of the prominent leaders and asked Tom and I to do the devotions that morning. And it was so exciting to us to see the breadth of ministry that is going on in a very hands-on, grassroots way there.
Isaac was eager to take us and show us the main YWAM training center of Nepal, which is just a little bit outside of Kathmandu, and this is their training center, which also did experience some earthquake damage on the top floor that they're going to have to repair. And then that afternoon, I got to attend a prayer meeting of Christians who gather weekly to pray for the safety of children and women in Nepal. And these are all people that are involved in different anti-trafficking ministries. And a young couple gave a report who had just traveled to Mumbai. And they had very positive, encouraging things to say about the efforts of the Nepali government and many different ministries in protecting children and women are paying off. And there's kind of stemmed the flow.
This was the last night that we were in Nepal, and this is back at Isaac and Binu's home, and they had a gathering that's like a house church. It's a part of their church that come together once a week to share a meal and some worship time, and that was really meaningful to us as well, and Tom was able to share at that meeting as well. Well, as you can see, our time in Nepal was very full, a very wide range of experiences, and God really helping us to gain an awareness of the great need that is there. It's a very hard time for those people, but also really witnessing the many ways that he is on the move transforming lives in the midst of it. So we appreciate so much your support and connection with us. We really felt like we took you with us, and we would invite you to continue to remember these brothers and sisters in Nepal in your prayers. Thank you so much for your partnership in helping us to make this trip.